If you'd like, turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. Third chapter of Ephesians. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which from the beginning of the ages hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by might by his that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory that to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end.
Good morning. I woke this morning just about like every other morning of my life, in a warm and comfortable bed, leaning over to kiss the most beautiful face that ever met a man in the day, sat up unassisted, swung my legs out of the bed, made my way to an in-house bathroom where I was able to relieve myself, walked down a hallway where an automatic thermostat was already kicking the temperature up, making the house comfortable, made my way into the kitchen where I flipped a switch and the lights came on, went over to a sink and I filled up 12 cups of pure water, dumped them into a coffee maker, pushed a button, and I could see and I could smell and I could hear, and a little bit later I could taste a wonderful cup of coffee, made my way back to the restroom, coming back this time pretty confident that all systems were working well and that it was going to be a good day. Made my way into the living room, picked up my Bible, and for 30 minutes, I feasted upon the Word of God in the quiet and the contentment of that time. Took a handful of little bitty pills that ensure that all my systems that should keep going, and then I'll test normal. Made my way into the bathroom again, this time to groom myself for the day. In which time, after that time, went to one of three closets where I could pick from an assortment of clothes, all suitable for the day. Finally making my way into the living room, where I plopped down, and I said, just mildly, as I usually do, in some way, shape, or form, thank you, Father, for the blessings of this day. And it's only been the first hour. You ever thought about that? 1 hour of my day. The fact is, that doesn't begin to scratch the surface of what most of us, and I do stress most of us, are blessed with each and every day of our life. In fact, that simple expression of thanksgiving doesn't begin to adequately express the gratitude that each one of us should have for all of the blessings in our life. If we are groping for something to strengthen our connection to God, we need only to open our eyes to His loving kindnesses and to tune our hearts to better express appreciation for all that He does for us. We talked about the transformation today. A transformation starts right here, my friends. Our recent study in Romans, along with other things, has sensitized me to the scope of God's love and His care for us in all aspects of our lives. In this country, we are blessed with an abundance of creature comforts. Many in this world don't even dream of the things that you and I experience day in and day out. And because of that, we typically take these things for granted. We easily do. You let that city water and those sewers and that electricity and those groceries and those working toilets disappear just for that first hour of the day and see if you don't appreciate them a great deal better. And just like the lights and the water and the coffee pot and the working toilets, we can take for granted and likely do all the more essential of God's provisions and the scope of His constant care and of our eternal well-being. What is it that we take for granted? Well, the short list: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, grace, mercy, promises, adoptions, inheritances, forgiveness, and hope, just to name a few. People across the globe have adapted to life without all of the things that we enjoy every day with the creature comforts. But sadly, they think that they can live and try to without the blessing of knowing those things are a component to their lives and a necessary component to their lives. James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance or shifting of shadows. The good things come from above. Yet it seems like mankind spends all of his time trying to dig them out of the ground, or pluck them off the trees, or carve them, or form them out of something that is made right here on this earth, forgetting about the more important and essential aspects of what God has provided for us. Most of us know these things. Most of us do indeed partake of these things and are partakers of the benefits. And as a result, we know in our New Testament it prescribes the appropriate response that should accompany our walks with God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Pretty simple. It's not the only place that tells us to do that. In fact, that passage in Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15, 16, and 17, three times, says be thankful. Three times. Thankful. 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 The sin of ingratitude, and I do think it's a sin, is one of the most dangerous and most common of all sins. Sincere acts of thanksgiving are extremely important, not just during the Wednesday evening before we stuff ourselves with turkey and dressing. Ongoing. Life-changing. I think the Holy Spirit, most often by the pen of Paul, prescribes expressions of thanksgiving and gratitude for a couple of reasons. One, to make sure it puts it in front of our minds all the time. But second, if we are constantly thanking God, it reveals to us and ourselves what's most important to us. What are you asking God thanks for? What's the nature of the things we're thankful for? You'll see that if, in fact, you assign yourself to always being thankful. Ephesians 5 and 20, always giving thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything giving thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, having firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And again, that last verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 of those three. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And what I do, I give thanks. Why in the world would I do that? People should be thanking me. Oh, yeah? We all know that's not the case. These passages, I'll point out, that our sincere and right-minded thanksgiving to God through Jesus Christ the Father is appropriate. We literally have enough to be thankful for that we should gush with it occasionally, and we should certainly ooze with it all the time. Paul prescribed it in his preaching for us, and also he wrote in his letters. Five times he opens up a letter with a thanks, giving thanks to God. Most often his giving thanks is typically to show appreciation or to show recognition for the growth and the steadfastness and the stability and the giving and the goodness that he sees in the churches that he's writing to. He's thankful for what they've done. He's thankful to God for what they're doing. And that's an important aspect because it shows his nature with regard to what he intends and to see God cause in the lives of all of us. There are many human frailties that contribute to our shortcoming in this area. We've already mentioned a few, just taking them for granted and familiarity and oversight. But there are a number that God points out, and we just want to get through them as quickly as I can without overlooking them. God thinks it's important that we look to these things. That's why he writes them for our edification. But ingratitude often stems from the mother of all sin, which is pride. It really comes down to that in many cases. Look what I can do. Look what I have done. Look at me and look at mine. Those things are often what is, in fact, at the root of ingratitude. Nebuchadnezzar is a perfect example of this. I just think this is amazing. We see the king reflecting, and he said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Is that not the craziest thing you ever heard? He's walking on the palace walls, looking down at what he has done, what he has done. The words aren't even out of his mouth, and God says, "Guess what? We're going to get a reality check here. And for seven periods of time, you're going to eat grass, and your hair's going to get all nappy like eagle's feathers, and your fingernails are going to get all gross looking, and you're going to know. You're going to come back around. You're going to, until you recognize the Most High as ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." That's the God that Nebuchadnezzar is going to learn the hard way to appreciate. And after that long period of time, Nebuchadnezzar says, "I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reasoning returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him." Stands up on the wall and looks down. What did I say? All good gifts come from above instead of from down on the ground. And he finally turns his eyes upward. And in our hearts, we do the same thing. It is a fact that any strength or ability that any of us possesses to accomplish anything is a gift from God. Any of us. And anything. And when we take credit for God's undeserved blessings, we essentially deny him the glory that is due him. Don't believe me? Just ask Moses. Alan mentioned it in his lesson the other day, and I was sensitive to it because this was already in the can. "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water pour you out of this rock. If it had been me, he'd have beat on that rock with that staff until it was a nub in his hand. God being wise and having his children thirsty and knowing that the somewhat tentative nature of Moses' leadership at that time, he brings it forth. Moses paid for it, did he not? Thanksgiving starts with the realization that God is an active participant in our lives, and that's often, always important. To understand his plan and the evidence of his being, to honor his power and authority over all things, we cannot give God thanks until we recognize his holistic and his active and his engagement in our lives. A spirit of gratitude requires knowledge, but not the kind of knowledge that puffs up. Rather, sincere thanksgiving starts from humility and an awareness that God has stooped down to bless me in spite of myself. This mindset of thanksgiving is not commonplace. Christ attests to this in Luke chapter 17. You remember the account where there are 10 lepers? 10 lepers come, and he's traveling between Galilee and Samaria. Galilee and Jerusalem, I believe. And he comes to a certain town, and they call out to him, saying, "Cleanse us." And he says, "Go show yourself to the priests." And they all run off to show themselves to the priests. And now one of them, when he saw it had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Evidently, there was more than one good Samaritan in the Bible, wasn't there? And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was not one found to turn back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Now, the reason I read this, because it's important. We all wonder, how do we bring glory to God? Well, one way that the Bible's telling us right here is we thank him. He came back to thank him. And it brought glory to God. Being thankful. You don't know how to glory God, you're going to do some great thing. What are we going to do, split the sea open? No. Thank your Lord. Thank your God for the things that he's done for you. Romans chapter 1, we beat up on it. Won't spend a lot of time. Gerald got it last week, and so did Scott today. But in the final day, nestled right in the middle of the problem with mankind here is unthankfulness. Right in the middle of that. They didn't know God. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks. It's the root and the seed to a lot of this stuff. So we see thanksgiving to be something that is focused on God, and as soon as we remove our focus, we see people going awry. Gerald mentioned last week again just the characteristics without reading it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, right in the middle of those things that will accompany man's behavior in the last days is ungratefulness. We live in a world of Romans chapter 1. We live in a world where people are, in fact, to a certain degree, like Nebuchadnezzar, having been given over to learn the hard way. Vegetarians with nappy hair and funky fingernails. I see that, don't you? The thankless spirit ultimately leads to a darkened and a corrupt mind, much like a spoiled child that has been profoundly coddled and overindulged and pampered, and they have become disillusioned or delusional about the realities of life and their sense of worth and entitlement. And that's what we see too often, walking in a kind of darkness that can't see God, even if they're trying to. And it's at this point, whatever one becomes thankful for, or however they express it, it's totally out of whack. It's perverse. An expression of gratitude that is aimless and routine and automatic and unthinking and token and insincere. It becomes a formality in prayers, often included for selfish reasons, to grease the skids for what you're going to ask for next. James chapter 3, verse 4 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your pleasures." That's the problem that is being pointed out by James in the world. The prophet well spoke when he said, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? We see it in mankind all the time. Again, Luke mentions in chapter 18, Jesus mentions in chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee that says, God, I thank thee that I am not like other people. I thank thee that I am not like other people. Now, isn't that a crazy prayer to thank God because I'm not like other people? I thank you, God, you made me not like other people. If the devil can get us to say that prayer, he's got us. I'm thankful I'm not like other people. That's exactly the problem. Because true gratitude and proper thanksgiving is God-oriented. It's towards God. Thanking God for what he has done for us, our stuff, our children, our families, our successes, and everything is totally wrong with regard to what we're thanking God for. Those are the results of God's grace and mercy, totally unmerited. If we can't recognize that, then the devil's got us. It comes from a pattern that we see in his son, and it's offered because of our relationship to God by him. So, we know these things, brethren. Cognitively, we know better than the lepers. We know better than the wrong-headed Pharisees. We know better than Nebuchadnezzar. And we have understand, we often, and most of the times, can bring ourselves to understand we're not self-sufficient. But do we consider, and do we take the time to specifically and intentionally express gratitude on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis to God, just literally to find out what it is right now we can be thankful for? What drives our thanksgiving to God? In Psalms chapter 107, verses 21 and 22, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness by itself and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Sounds like Colossians, doesn't it? Singing and giving God the glory. Even modest sacrifice of ourselves is required, or a very modest sacrifice of ourselves is required to do this. But we do, in fact, have to take the time to be thoughtful and meditative and contemplative and resulting in a stronger fellowship with God. As I said when I opened up our lesson, if we want to have a closer walk with him, then this is the way to do it, to focus on his gifts, on all the gifts he gives us. As Jerry says, so we can have a richer, fuller, deeper appreciation. He says it in his prayers all the time. If we want that, we have to apply ourselves to that. This is what Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit in the opening reading we have. I just want to just listen to these verses. We're starting to wrap up. I don't even have any idea how we're doing for time. But we got a few more minutes? Huh? Five more? Okay. Thank you, Renee. I know you're keeping track. Okay, good. Back to our opening reading. The reason that I wanted us to go here, because this is one of the things that led me to this point in time. We're reading your scriptures, you read it 30 minutes a day, and you hope you're getting a better understanding, or trying to, and you realize that there's yet another layer to it. Listen, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and that he will grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This passage is chock full of all sorts of God's gifts that we haven't even mined yet. If we have gotten to the place where we are delving into God's word to find the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find that we have more and more to be thankful for than we've ever thought before. Not just the mundane things and routine things that need blessing, although I will say this. Have you ever noticed how it is when you are sick or when you hit yourself in the thumb with a hammer? How you are so thankful when you just get back to normal? But then you're normal and you don't think to be so thankful for being normal. Human existence. Besides the time, effort, and thought that goes into showing gratitude, the truly thankful spirit sacrifices one's ego, one's self, one's sense of accomplishment, and admitting to God that we are insufficient without him. Gratitude, expressed outwardly and upwardly, demonstrates our appreciation and is our acknowledgement that God occupies a prime place in our lives inwardly. So we're going to get ready to wrap up. I just want to make a couple points. We might be tempted to think that this is a lesson about prayer, but I think that would cause us to fall far short of what my intentions would be. And it is true in one sense that that's how we may express it. But there is another element to that, and that is just being thankful. Just being grateful causes us to react in such a way that we live a life of gratitude. We do things. We don't just say things. We do things out of gratitude for God. And so that's how we gauge this, not by how well we can express these in our prayers, but how well they are transforming our lives and this effort that God is bringing to us in our attention. That's why I didn't say anything in our soul not said. If I say everything I got in my mind, I have nothing to say up here. Part of that transformation is being thankful. The sanctifying work of being thankful to God and bringing glory to God by virtue of that and understanding what we bring to the equation. Finally, I want to make the last point that I think God wants us to be thankful for one reason more than any other. It's to our benefit. God is not the kind of God that needs us to express thanksgiving to maintain his very tender self-esteem, his ego or his temperament. He doesn't need us to thank him so he can drop morsels on our table. When I was a kid, I was at Knott's Berry Farm. We used to buy stinking little fish, and the seals would go out there and throw them a fish, and they'd, and as soon as they could see nobody had any food, they'd go back and sit down. It's not the way God works. God wants us to do this because God knows that it ties us closer to him. God wants us to do this because God knows, and his son taught us this, that he deserves it. God wants us to do what he deserves, and that is he deserves us to be grateful to him and to bring glory to him, and that is the one thing that he does demand. Bring glory to his name. It is a form of witness to a world around us, and it introduces those in our daily sphere to the God that is our pillar of cloud by day and our pillar of fire by night. And if it is true, it shouldn't be very hard for us to express such gratitude. It immediately establishes to ourselves and others that we are not the author of our achievements, nor are we the captain of our destiny. And as soon as we get there, the closer we'll be in our walk with God. We have been created in such a way that confession is good for the soul. And I believe that being thankful and showing gratitude to God is part of that sense of confession. It just is. Nebuchadnezzar and the Pharisees and humanity and just feeling okay and feeling good, it just creeps in. in all things giving thanks to God and Father. And whatever you do in word or deed, giving thanks, that's the call. And that's our lesson. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. If there's anyone here who would like to begin their walk with Christ, through Christ to God, this is an opportunity that is yours to indeed make a confession of faith, to indeed recognize and appreciate. And your first act of appreciation for what God has done for you, if you do understand and recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he put on flesh, set aside his glory that he deserves, to suffer, to be poorly treated, to the point of death, hung on a cross, which the world today thinks of more so than any other day of the year. I hope that we think about it every moment of our day. Because it's the difference between us and eternal damnation. If you are subject to the invitation, the Lord says, come. To be buried in baptism as your first expression of faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And to start a life where God is both helping us in the old and in the new. In the flesh and in the spirit. So many different ways. Way beyond what we can comprehend, probably for our whole life. If you're subject to that, please take advantage of that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that's been selected for us.